To the role, different players, different strokes. But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's got a seat.
All right, we're back at the State Farmers Market. And the weather's tolerable right now. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to get warm, but... Maybe it won't. I feel for all those people who are going to be out there all day at Dreamville. Keep that in mind if you're traveling to Raleigh today for other things, that there will be a lot of people in the Dix Park area, and that we are adjacent to that here at the Farmers Market. So if you're coming to the Farmers Market, keep that in mind. You may have to give the secret handshake to get into the Farmers Market after some
Probably.
Point. Just keep the parker, the folks who want to park elsewhere.
Maybe that's where Monica is out there.
I don't know.
Giving him the evil eye.
She yeah, there was nobody out there this morning. I expect that to happen. Where's old Gerald? Is he straight across from us?
Yeah, he was down there getting his tomatoes ready a little bit ago. Went down there and got a couple of tomatoes for Rufus. We walked down there. He got a Rufus tomato and a Rufus.
Well, two.
Yeah, there's another Rufus.
Two different Rufus. That's my split personality.
He's got two Rufus?
Yeah.
Two distinct varieties?
Yeah, let me get, right. I'll get it. So.
Yeah, I'd like to find that. Don't trip. You know, at some point, we've got to share these bunny glasses with the public. We'll get Harrison to take a... maybe a video of us with these on because they blink.
Yeah.
But they're bunny glasses, folks.
They're funny bunny.
Melissa and I found them at Michael's, and I just thought that Rufus needed these. I dare you to put these in your tuxedo pocket tonight.
Now, I'm not doing a tuxedo.
Oh, you're not wearing a tux tonight?
No, cause I don't want to run afoul of...
Well, I know, but it's the inaugural ball.
Yeah, but it's not required. So
oh, it's not.
I don't want to be in the category you got in.
I figured it was a top hat.
Yeah. There's a thing called the Wake County Chittenden Club, and we don't like culture that much.
Yeah.
So one time he went to a wedding in Charleston and wore a tuxedo when he didn't have to.
It was an evening wedding, and I hadn't worn that tuxedo, and I don't know when, so I wore it.
But that was his own volition.
I turned myself in.
Yeah.
Great one.
Yeah, he turned himself in, and he went before the CIA, the Chitlin Investigative Agency, and was found guilty and put on probation.
And grown men are members of this organization. It was started by Governor Carr Scott. So... grown men.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it, but you wouldn't know it on the first Sunday in February, but that's the way it is. So, yeah, I've rehabilitated.
I know.
I haven't worn one in a while. I'd like to have a reason to wear a tux, but I will make sure that it's required.
As long as it's required.
Okay.
Do I have to get a note from you? You just confessed. You showed me a picture.
Do I have to get a note from you or the CIA?
Well, I would get advisory opinion. That'd come from me.
All right. Okay. Well, we want to be up to date in our rules and everything. So I'll certainly do that. Let's go to Farmer John. Farmer John, good morning.
Well, good morning, friends. I hope you're all doing well. You sound like you're all doing well.
I think we're doing okay.
Well, good. So 30 minutes ago, I'm finishing up breakfast with Farmer John's wife. And
who's Farmer John's wife? Is she Farmer Jill?
No, that's Farmer Paula. So Paula and Farmer John. Yeah, down here in Tukway. So I commented. I said, you know, I should call into the show about this problem we're having at the neighborhood entryway on these crepe myrtles. And lo and behold, 5 minutes later, you're talking about the crepe.
All right.
Well, you are tuned in with us. You are. It just proves it, Farmer John.
So here's the deal. So we've got these crepe myrtles around the entryway, and some of the homes in the neighborhood have it too, with sooty mold on it. And I believe I understand the initial cause is typically they get infested with aphids or scale or something like that, and then that creates some substance, and the substance then attracts the mold and all that sort of thing. So we had the landscape company that cares for the entryway give us a quote on cleaning that up. I wasn't extremely happy with the quote, and plus there was no guarantee it was going to work or that they might not have to do it more than once, which would probably be double or triple the fee. So I'm just kind of wondering about, we might get a few volunteers from the neighborhood, but what's your take on the cause, the best treatment plan? Now, these have not leafed out, so it's not like there's this current infestation on the leaves. They don't have any leaves right now, so this must be a carryover from last year, I suppose. But some of them look pure tea black on the trunks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was wondering is that what we're talking about?
Yep.
I've been talking about
yep,
the scale.
That's the crepe myrtle bark scale.
All right, what should he do?
So, depending on how long it's been infested, right? So, if you can find it early enough, you can use a brush or wash the area off, right? So, if it's past that point, significant. I don't know how big your crepe myrtles are. Sometimes you can reach them, sometimes you can't. But you've got some options around sort of pruning off some of that stuff. But if it's talking about your big sort of central branches, you're sort of set with insecticides, horticultural oils, or there are some biological controls, maybe some beetles and stuff, but it's there's not a lot of science on how well those work. So really what we've found so far is that it hasn't caused the death of the trees, but it will affect the appearance. You will lose some leaves. And it is sort of a reoccurring piece. One of the keys, I think, is hitting the scale when they're at a certain point, because a lot of that is a hard shell that makes them hard to deal with. So you almost have to get them as soon as they hatch that next time and are moving around to sort of go to that next spot.
Yeah, one of the insecticides that some of the people have been using is Merit. That's the trade name.
So hey, that's been a while. That's been around,
A good while. But the landscaper would, someone that has a license would have to administer that. And what you do is put it around the base of the tree.
Yep.
It's pretty simple, and it's worked. We had a few that came in to the nursery, and we took them to the back of the nursery and treated them with Merit, and they were fine.
Phil, are you saying you would do more like a full drench, like mix it into a bucket and soak the root balls?
That would be fine.
With product like that.
Yes.
All right, I'm just making,
that's what
making
I would
note
do.
Here. Yeah.
Zach,
yeah.
How Zach, about you,
as far as,
go ahead. Mark. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you as a follow-up. If these plants are probably 5 to 6 years old installed when the neighborhood was started, so they're not tremendously large, but they're, you're not going to reach them well with a tank sprayer. But if you're trying to treat them with, say, once they leaf out and you're trying to treat the whatever on the leaves, would it be feasible to use a hose end sprayer with a product like neem oil, for example, to treat the insects? Is that a kind of a viable option?
You could. I'm not sure how much good it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That scale has, like we said, has a really hard shell on the outside, And so it's very difficult. Sometimes it'll have to be like taken up from the root and then into the tree so it can, you know, eat, suck that out. But I would just, you know, putting something around the, I'm not a fan of throwing stuff into the air at all, but I mean, putting something around the root system, the base of that tree, shouldn't be, unless you, you know, abuse the, you know, just keep putting it on there. I think one time might even do the trick. We did that and it was fine.
Yeah, I'd also add you may be able to do a little sort of improve the growing conditions a bit for that tree.
Some air.
Yep, sometimes you loosen up a little of the soil around the base. Depending on when it was planted or how it was planted, you can, you know, if it's getting enough water or is there enough sort of good soil in the area, sort of helping the tree help itself could be an opportunity as well. That's going to be a little longer term kind of piece, but setting that tree up for success could provide you some benefits down the road as well.
The other thing you want to make sure is that enough air can circulate through and around the tree, like the canopy of the tree. If it's got, if there's tons of limbs, if it's a new tree and you've got tons of new growth, you may have to go in there and trim a few of those out. I don't mean create murder, but you can just trim just a few of the smaller limbs and get some more airflow.
Well, yeah, absolutely no create murder. And I still just, you know, just fringe every time I see that. Fortunately,
oh,
we haven't had,
that you hate that too.
I do. That one in volcano mulch, crepe myrtle and volcano mulch.
You're not guilty of that, are you, Farmer John?
Oh, no. I've been listening to you guys long enough now to know, you know, right from wrong, shall we say.
All right. That's good.
But I'll just leave
always
with one.
Listen to your parents.
That's right. I'll just leave with one comment then. I did call about 3 weeks ago and talked with Gerald's on. I had a problem on my own down here on my property, my lot, with black spots on some azaleas and so forth, and was had been using neem oil, but he suggested using a product, and I've got it written down, but the brand name ended up being Bacchanil. That was a name I could remember and purchased off the shelf. I can't remember what the chemical is, but the key was using the soil drench, and it really has maybe start to think about, well, okay, maybe, you know, applying it to the leaf matter with a, you know, a tank sprayer might be fine if you've got aphids or whiteflies or something like that. But if you really want to get to something where, you know, it really needs to get inside the plant, the soil drench, the root uptake of the product is really the best way to go.
Right.
I really hadn't put that part together very well, and now I'm really thinking about that a lot more as far as not only treating after you've got a problem, but treating on a preventative kind of basis as well.
Right.
And so I'm going to be a lot more attentive to doing that this year than I have been in prior years. So,
and
the
other thing is, if you've just got aphids or white flies or something like that, the birds and other predators are going to take care of those. I mean, they might be unsightly for a little while, and the residue that they leave might, you know, the sticky mess or something for just a short time. But the birds and other wildlife are going to take care of those because they've got to have something to eat. So just be careful.
Well,
be careful about how picky you are, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I try not to do anything like that.
I have been, I will confess that the farmer's wife and I have been more than generous in feeding those birds.
There you
winter.
Go.
They are eating us out of house and farm.
Yes, they are.
I'm
right
just telling
now.
You. I mean, they have just gone, they've gone through a whole bunch of, and I bought my first bag of mealyworms last week.
All right.
For the bluebirds. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord. I thought I was going to take out a mortgage. Anyway. It's so expensive, but anyway, we're not going to give them very much at one time, that's for sure.
Right.
That's going to be like ice cream gets rationed out. All right, listen, I'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Farmer Bob, you don't regret putting out the crepe myrtles, do you?
Well, I didn't put them out, and I love crepe myrtle. I just think it's certainly one of my top five
You know, across the landscape, eastern redbud being one, of course, you know, dogwoods, particularly pink dogwoods.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they're just wonderful. But they're not carefree by any means. You've got to take care of them like you got to take care of anything. Anyway,
all right.
Thank you again. Always great to be with you. All right,
we're going to take a quick break and be back with more here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're back on WPTF, the State Farmers Market, and Zachary Manor is with us, the urban forester for the city of Raleigh. And we got, two minutes. Talk about this contest that's in process right now.
Sure, thank you. So we're in the middle of our nomination period for Raleigh's 2025 Tree of the Year. So nomination period opened up April 2nd. It's going to run through April 16th. So all you got to do is go to RaleighNC.gov, search Tree of the Year, and it'll give you all the details. So we're looking for trees that mean something to you. It could be a big tree, it could be a little tree, it could be a happy tree or a sad tree. It's just a tree that means something to you. We're going to ask you, it needs to be seen from the road. It could be in a park, could be in your yard, just as long as you can see it from the road. And so we're hoping for trees that aren't invasive. So if you're not sure what that is, on the form, it'll click you a link to our NC State Extension Gardener Toolbox that'll help you give you a little information on those trees that are invasive. And those that are, it could be a native, it could be a non-native. It just depends what you like and what you want to nominate. If you go to the website, it'll give you all the details. So you can talk a little bit in your submission about why you thought that should be the Tree of the Year. And so we'll have that open for 2 weeks through the April 16th. And then starting April 17th, all the trees that got nominated will be back up, and you can go back and vote for your favorite. So whichever tree has the most votes on April 23rd at 5 p.m. Will be Raleigh's Tree of the Year for 2025. And we'll do a big announcement at our Earth Day Arbor Day event at Dorothea Dix Park on April 25th. The winner will get a yard sign they can put out front saying they have the Tree of the Year.
Wow.
We also have a certificate, so you can celebrate, and the neighbors will know and be proud. You can even probably nominate a tree, your neighbor's tree, if you want to, but just as long as you can see it. So a tree that means something to you, something that means something to everybody.
Zachary Manor, thank you very much. You fit in well with this program. You're welcome back anytime.
All right. It was a great time. I appreciate you having
me.
And it was a pleasure to meet everybody. And get out there and nominate a tree for us.
All right.
All right.
We'll be back with more on The Weekend Gardener coming up. All right. We're back on WPT. We were back before. I didn't know it. I took my headphones off. We were taking a photo. I'll share it.
And Rufus said hee-haw.
Yeah. I think that was before we went back. But it's I brought some bunny glasses, and they blink. So
they're fabulous.
Yeah. They are.
So that's what we were doing. We were having our videos.
A photo shoot.
Yeah, photo. We were doing a photo shoot.
I didn't get my makeup on. Let's do that again.
Joel, have we got time for Rufus to get his makeup back on? Or? Absolutely not. We don't have time for that. All right. So what am I doing here? I must garden? All right. All right. I'm lucid and everything. Let me... See, I was so resolute on getting this video... 919-860-9783. We're at State Farmers Market in Raleigh, by the way. It's a beautiful day. It was kind of humid this morning, but it wasn't bad, and we've got a lot of wind. And so it's nice. I don't notice the pollen this weekend like I did the last weekend, so it's that's another good thing.
The clouds are really moving fast.
Clouds are really moving. Yeah, well, it's windy.
Yeah. But
so
it's like,
and we've got a front approaching,
right?
Of course, you know, the the Triangle is known for its natural beauty, and with that comes an incredible variety of wildlife, from curious deer and clever squirrels to sneaky moles and voles and even snakes. You know, the animals around here sure know how to make themselves at home. There's no doubt about that. You're going to be seeing more and more. I'm looking for snakes now. Rufus, you're looking for snakes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Unfortunately, you can... all of them can... Well, not all, but some can spell trouble for you in your garden. Bless you, Harrison. There are, you know, the deer and the rabbit and all kinds of things. But Imo's Garden is here to help you, safe, effective way to enjoy wildlife and protect your garden against some of these problems. And they don't have harsh chemicals in Imo's Garden products. They offer a smarter, more natural approach to pest control. Their repellents are made with botanical oils and other natural ingredients, things that animals instinctively avoid. I invented a new word. But are safe to you, your family, your pets, the environment, and they don't only work, they smell pretty good too. And that's right, no harsh chemicals, odors, dangerous residues, just clean, natural protection that'll let you breathe easy. Whether you're dealing with deer mulching on roses or rabbits in the veggie beds or squirrels in your planters or mosquitoes ruining your evening, Imo's Garden has got you covered. They offer long-lasting solutions for over 15 common pests, including their best-selling deer repellent and products that come easy to spray, concentrates, granules. They've got it all. Pick up Imo's Garden repellents today and enjoy peace of mind. You can find them at places like Campbell Road Nursery. Imo's Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. All right, James, you are patient, aren't you? Joel?
Yes, I am.
There we go. All right, well, how can we help you today?
Oh, thank you. I had two questions. One is about tomato plants. I wanted to try out the red snapper tomato plant this season and was just wondering where I could get the plants. I never was good at planting seeds myself. I just waited for nurseries to have the plants.
Well, a lot of people are not good at growing tomatoes, period.
Right. That,
so if you can grow tomatoes, Phil, where do you have any red snapper?
I don't have any red snapper.
I imagine you could find them at the farmer's market.
Probably.
They weren't there last weekend, but I didn't know they were going to be coming there or not.
Did you check with Gerald?
Gerald Adams, yeah. Gerald, who is on the show here.
Well, I listen to you all the time, and I know about Gerald. I didn't know exactly where he was. Is he at the farmer's market?
He is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which number they. I see they've got them numbered now. But if you're familiar with the farmer's market, the open air buildings that are the first thing you see when you come in, he is at the
79.
He is
86.
No, well, 79's on the other side.
Okay.
It's called Gerald and Henry's.
Yeah, it's on the Centennial Parkway side. It's on the road that you turn off of to get in here. It's on that side of building number 2, which is down near Super. Do you know where Superside is?
No, I don't. I know where the main groceries are. So
well,
I went to Logan's last weekend and checked them out. So.
Right. So they are these are the open air buildings, and it's the second building down. The first building is closest to the main roads that come in, and then there's they extend down.
Okay.
And they,
have you got any red snaps?
It's kind of second building, I suppose.
So it's the second building, a very long strip that's just under everybody's under a canopy.
Yeah, and I believe Phil said he was 79, and it's Gerald and Henry.
Hey, James, I just talked to Gerald, and he's going to have some by Wednesday or Thursday, which is a good time to get them because we've got a really good chance of a frost freeze on Wednesday morning.
I'm devoted to April 15th. So
I heard that. you're a smart man.
Yeah.
Smart man. Yeah, he's going to have some Thursday.
Okay. I've been growing tomatoes for over 30 years, and I've been bit.
Oh, wow. Really?
Enough times, to know.
What is your is your secret?
I'm stupidly stubborn. So,
What varieties? Yeah, Rufus, I think Rufus, you're going to ask about varieties.
Well, what is a red? Give me
a
characteristic
like
red snapper.
I've just been reading up and hearing about it, and hearing Gerald talk about it. Sounds like it's very resistant, which is the biggest problem now.
Oh, okay.
And I grew up with Better Boy, and it's really strange. 30 years ago, tomatoes were nothing, piece of cake. Now they're just a huge challenge. And I'll usually grow six or eight and try to have different varieties, knowing that two or three of them or more are going to die and the others will be okay, because they don't know year by year which ones are going to be the resistance to watch out there.
That's a good idea.
Well, you know, we used to grow like a whole row, and I'm talking a 75-foot row of tomatoes. We would have tomatoes for everybody on the road at Campbell Road. And we had, because we had a huge garden back then. And it was so crazy because we would have plenty. We would have bushels of tomatoes, and they were just gorgeous. And now, I don't know. I don't know if it's the wet, the heat, or what in the world is going on, but something's...
Well, about 4 years ago, I switched over completely to containers.
Right.
And I've been putting store-bought sterile dirt into containers, and that seems to be making a... growing them in the ground here where I live. Yes.
That's all right. I tell you what you do, James. You waited so long. I want you to finish your thoughts, if you don't mind waiting through a break.
Well, I'm done. I just want.
Okay. Let us know if you get the red snappers and keep us updated on your tomato crop. We may all
Sounds
need some
great.
Help.
Yeah, we all
For
do,
sure.
don't we?
For
yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening. We'll be back
from
We'll be back from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. All right, we're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Phil Campbell and Rufus Edmonston, Brother Harrison sitting over here, and Gerald's right across the way somewhere, and he's working hard as all the... Just some gorgeous plants out here, Phil. They really are.
They are. They've got beautiful hanging baskets, and... I walked over there just for a few minutes and saw Gerald when I first got here. And there's some beautiful dahlias in that first row right there.
Yeah, look at yellow and orange.
Mm-hmm. They're really pretty. I like dahlias. Like, it's nice to see them this early, too. But, yeah, he's got a little bit of everything over there in his booth. It's great.
Yeah.
Just sure be does. Careful, though.
I know.
I'm not bringing mine out till Thursday.
Just because you buy the plants doesn't mean you can eat anything. Eat a sandwich tomorrow.
Well,
from this stuff. So you gotta think these things out.
It's just gonna it's gonna be cold. I mean, we're not done.
I know. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta have some cold.
Look at that pollen blowing over there.
I know.
Wow.
I've been watching that. I'm glad it's over there, but I'm afraid it's over here too, and we just don't see it over here as much.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's been doing that all morning.
Well, there's also a road over there. Maybe that's dust instead of pollen.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it looked last weekend and much of this week.
Yeah.
But I haven't noticed, like I did last week, I haven't noticed pollen all over the table and all over me. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I think things have settled down a little bit. It helps that the wind is blowing.
Right.
And then we'll have some. It's been really dry, hasn't it? You've been irrigating a lot?
Oh, have to. I mean, it's extremely dry. If you watch the animals, the birds are just taking over the bird baths trying to get water. And with the pollen in it, it's just made a big mess for them. So it's really good if you could keep your bird baths cleaned out and keep fresh water in them right now, because they're very thirsty. I've seen some doves just creep down into a goldfish pool and eat out of the edge. Drink out of the edge of the pool. And I mean, they're extremely thirsty right now, I'm sure. And I'm watching bees around here. I mean, everything.
I haven't seen any bumblebees. I've seen carpenter bees.
Yeah, I saw some carpenter bees. They're getting ready to attack this wood.
They are. They're trying to find a nest.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Trying to find a soft place to go in.
They are out. So
in.
You've seen some honeybees out working
around? I have seen some honeybees, thankfully.
Yeah, that's right. And how are your bluebirds doing?
Bluebirds are going crazy right now. They're having the best time. I just wish David McDowell were here with me. He and I used to have the best time late in the afternoon watching those bluebirds just work those coal frames.
They'd go
down and stay down there for about 3 or 4 seconds and back up again, and just constantly going after pansy worms and things. And, you know, you were talking about pansies. It's not a bad thing if you want a lot of color right now. Put a few pansies in. We've got them on sale big time, and they look great. And we've got peonies, or however you want to say it. We have.
What do you say?
Peonies.
Peonies. So we've got those on sale through the weekend. We kind of did an early Mother's Day special, and they were just beautiful. So we've got those on sale. You haven't lost any bloom time with them. They're just getting, they're budded up.
And they'd be blooming about middle of April, right?
Right, right.
How about snaps? I just love snaps.
Well, we sold out of snaps, but they're just doing great right now in the garden. So it's a great plant to think about for next fall to get it in. And but right now we've got tons of shrubs. We cannot keep shrubs. People are just... They come in and buy, you know, 5 and 6 at a time. I'm so appreciative of that. But there's some of the most beautiful color. And we've got encores of many different colors. We're selling the specialty petunias, like the proven winners and that sort of thing, bubble gum and all those weird colors. We've got verbena. Some of the early season annuals that can take the cold.
Right. Rufus, I was thinking about you the other day because my sweet osmanthus has been blooming for several days. It has gone crazy. It's just like fall out there. Sweet Betsy is blooming.
Yeah.
Mine has a little fragrance on it. Not a lot, but... And also the banana, banana pudding.
I smelled that
magnolia.
Yesterday.
Banana pudding magnolias blooming.
Yeah, I smelled that yesterday. Probably one of my favorite trees in the yard this year, and well, every year, but this year it's just done remarkable, was the Chinese redbud. And I'm telling you, until it rained the other night, that tree was absolute. The trunk of that tree was full of blooms.
I saw it, and I had never seen anything like it in my life.
It was
I'd never seen a tree, a red bud bloom on the trunk like that before. It's like it has a coat on. Phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. It was beautiful this year. I think it really outdid itself. So, it's just, and I've got a picture of a amaryllis that Tom Monaco brought me a few days ago, and he said it's a new one.
Oh, wow. And is Tom doing okay?
He's doing pretty good.
Yeah,
he's,
bless his heart. He was, was a member for many years of our grounds committee at St. Michael's Episcopal. What a learned gentleman.
Right.
And what a great fisherman, I hear.
Oh, he is. He is. He got me started going down to Cape Lookout. We went down there and stayed in the cabins, You have to take your generator.
There ain't no air conditioning out
there. No. You take your generator. You have to go in the fall or early spring.
Y'all do get out on the surf. You do surf fishing.
So we had fun doing that. Unfortunately, my shoulders weren't strong enough to wind the drum in. So I would snag them, and then Grayson, our grandson, would roll them in for me.
Oh, wow.
Wind them in.
That? Well, please give him my best.
I will. I'll see him this week, I'm sure.
Great man.
He is. He's planting a garden right now. His sons and grandsons are helping him. He's doing what he loves.
Yeah. Well, when he was on our grounds committee, he had a grandson who would come over and help him.
Right.
He had a special area that he worked on, and our labyrinth area, and so that was he had his grandson helping him there. So that's great. All right, Rufus, what's blooming in your yard? Anything? You got a banana pudding tree, don't you?
I certainly do. The osmanthus is blooming, budding up.
Wow! And those big ones you got.
They're about I estimate they're close to 40 feet tall, and that is one thing. I did plant a whole hedge of them, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah. Still have camellias. I brought one in today. It's the large Phil and I. Believe it's a Professor Sargent, one of the largest.
Yeah, there's a Professor Sargent shrub in my backyard, and I saw one big one blooming this morning. I haven't gotten close enough, but it's really showing up.
Oh, absolutely! Right. It's a wonderful, wonderful plant.
Yeah, I mean japonicas we associate with winter, late winter blooming, but they're into spring too. Some of them.
Our Jack's camellias are still blooming at the nursery.
So maybe they're going to develop some camellias that are blooming longer. It's just amazing how many different varieties of camellias there are.
Yeah, I got a Jack's. It's called Jack's from Phil.
What's special about that?
89th camellia I've got on the place.
Oh, gosh. So what's special about Jack's?
Well, this one has been blooming since December, and it is still blooming. They're very floriferous. I mean, that shrub, that bush, will have it'll be just covered in pink. It's a really nice rosy pink. And we've got two of them right there close to the fish pool. And they're just beautiful.
I don't ever
do anything to them.
I think I like the camellias with two different colors.
Mm-hmm. I like those too.
I mean, even the ones that are white, you know, bright white with a little, maybe a pink edge or something. I like those a lot.
I like the hellebores like that too. Some of the new hybrid hellebores right now, especially the wedding party, we just planted some. And they came in with a little bit of, a few of them had blooms on them. They were just gorgeous.
I assume it's hybrid.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I have tens of thousands.
They are not.
They're very invasive, but I love them still.
I do too. I do too.
I have plenty at the garden market.
Good. We'll be back with more of the Weekend Gardener at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh.